It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it? Yeah, so do we. Here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we'll give you something to brag about. Like the latest styles from brands you love, or the trends everyone's obsessing over, or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today.
DSW, let us surprise you.
Finding the right furniture for my home can be hard, especially when I'm looking for trendy, high-quality pieces that won't break the bank. Luckily, at Bob's Discount Furniture, I can shop the latest styles and customer favorites with tons of five-star reviews, like Bob's Real Marble Elm Dining Set, which has over 600 five-star reviews, the Copper Radiance Mattress, which over 400 Bob's customers say will give you five-star sleep, the ultra-comfy Phantom Reclining Sofa, which boasts over 1,000 five-star reviews, and the customizable modular Bob's Sectional, which not only costs just $250 per piece, but has over 1,700 five-star reviews. So when you're ready to score five-star style for every room in your home at everyday low prices, listen to the smartest shoppers around and stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
All right, let's go. You're rolling with J&J to start your day on 929 FM ESPN. Welcome to the second day of June. Hopefully it's going pleasant for you so far. Certainly feels like the rain has cleared out of here. And that is a nice thing. Shockwaves still reverberating throughout the NFL that rocked us after we got out of here yesterday. We're going to talk about that because I'm still shaking and wondering why my coach didn't do something. I'm Jason Smith. Brad Carson's here on the other side of the glass. Our man John Martin off on paternity. We have got a ton to talk about, including huge, like I mentioned, NFL news that popped up after we got out of here yesterday. And it was not the source of these shockwaves was not the, you know, much anticipated AJ Brown to Patriots trade. Freaking Myles Garrett, two-time Defensive Player of the Year, NFL sack record holder, getting traded to the Rams. Rich get richer. Rams already got the MVP, Matthew Stafford. Some of us were whining that they didn't do anything for Stafford in the now and going out and using a first-rounder on Ty Simpson. I'll hold up my hand. I was one of those. Now, they did pay Matthew after that, which is pretty nice. But you go out and you get Myles Garrett. I don't care that they're giving up another first rounder. That's what they do. It makes me sick as a Chicago Bears fan. It really does. Now, I got other things to worry about, including where we're going to play my games coming up. I don't know if you've seen that.
Seen all of it.
Illinois politicians, man.
The worst.
You would know more about it than me because you've lived there for a part of your life.
My family are all there, too.
But I know the history.
Yeah.
Right now, we can't get anything done.
No.
That said, we also didn't get anything done in terms of adding a defensive end. You know, the Cleveland had said Myles Garrett was off limits. I guess Ryan Poles, the Bears GM, said, okay, I won't call. Rams kept calling. They got it done. And it's shaken up the NFL, made the Rams huge, huge Super Bowl favorites. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about that A.J. Brown trade because it happened like we thought it would after we got out of the got off the air yesterday. We also got word not long after we got off the air. We had talked about it. From the University of Memphis, that incoming freshman, two-time Tennessee Mr. Basketball, Fred Smith Jr., has signed with the Tigers, who begin their summer workouts today. All 14 signed up. I think he got just one that's coming in a little bit later on this week, even though he signed in Jaden Reed. And so everything looks good for the time being. And Penny Hardaway has used a different process to put this team together. We'll talk about it. John's talked about where it is metrically. It's not great in terms of the Torvix and everything else, but Penny's talked about, and there's been a quiet confidence, seemingly, maybe not so quiet, about, you know, the going about this a different way is going to lead to a better chemistry. They've got all their guys there for workouts, including Fred Smith Jr. That was certainly good news yesterday. Tony Allen wrapped up his business with an Arkansas court. Steph Curry ended his sneaker search. I don't know if you saw that. Dylan Brooks completed flight school. Might ask Brad the question today of whether or not he would fly with Dylan Brooks piloting the plane. They were asking that on the national show that just got out of here before we started. And so, yeah, there's this. There's also this thing called Game 1 of the NBA Finals that tips off tomorrow on ABC. We'll air live on 92.9 FM ESPN as well. So we're excited about that. The return of Fade Brad Carson tomorrow. That'll happen. Also, and maybe Brad can weigh in, we've got Game 1 of the Stanley Cup Final tonight, pitting the Vegas Golden Knights and Carolina Hurricanes. I don't know much about hockey, but I do know Carolina is the favorite to win the series and the favorite to win tonight. They're minus 155 to win the series for you hockey folks. Now, Brad spent some time in Vegas, which has been very impressive in what they've done in their few, in what, less than a decade? Is it 9 years?
Yes.
In terms of their postseason success. So you got to give it up for Vegas and for Carolina. Stanley Cup Final for those who will be watching. I will not. Kicks in tonight. Just want you to know I got my eye.
You're not going to be watching.
I got my eye on everything. I know it's happening, just like I know Cubs and Cardinals are playing right now, but I can know it's happening, not pay attention.
Right. Probably better
kinda,
off.
Just kind of come in. Now, again, everybody tells me Stanley Cup, great to watch.
Yeah, Carolina's going to be favored in this, as you mentioned, and the reality is Vegas was a mess in the middle of the season. They had to get rid of their coach. They have a new coach.
You,
this is a surprise.
Yeah.
I'm a Vegas Golden Knights fan. So,
do you and George have deep hockey conversations?
Not really.
I know,
George
he's a
is
hockey
a
guy.
George is really in the weeds on a lot of stuff, baseball and hockey in particular.
He is really in the weeds on it. It impresses me.
It's very
because,
impressive.
Again, he can talk for a couple of minutes on hockey. I got to turn away, get out of the conversation. I know there's just too much knowledge for me to be in that combo. It's very impressive. As is our guests today. About an hour from now, I'm very excited about this. My former, you didn't know this, Brad, Daily Helmsman colleague and U of M college classmate. She's also my neighbor.
How about that?
Small world. She's a lot more than that now, though. Elisa Seymour is now the three-time state champion girls track and field coach at Collierville High School. And this past December, she was in Dallas, Texas. This is a story that if you don't know it here in Memphis, of what Elisa's done in terms of the track world here in Memphis, the track community you do. In Texas, in December, she was named the 2025 National High School Girls Track and Field Coach of the Year. It's given annually, obviously, to the best girls track coach in the country in this case. And I'm wondering if after winning a third straight state title this year or this past month, for Collierville, if she'll get it again. She's done a ton. Also executive director of the Ed Murphy Track Club. Not just on the high school scene, winning three straight titles, state titles for Collierville. We haven't seen that kind of dominance since Whitehaven about a decade ago. But also as executive director of the Ed Murphy Track Club, you know, there are tons and tons of kids that participate in that track club. My son was once one of them. I think you do it for free. You get experience very early on, and it serves greater Memphis. And so she has done things, also worked at Southwind, and they got a runner-up and a state finish there in the track community. This is long after we were journalism buds at Memphis. She's also, if I'm not mistaken, I don't know if she'll let me into that world, but she, if I'm not mistaken, she married a Memphis football player, former Memphis football player as well. So it extremely, extremely accomplished high school coach that we've got here. And I wonder, when you just keep doing it this at this level, if she's ever going to think about moving up to the college level. Maybe that's a question we'd save for later. Obviously, she's done so much in this Memphis community, you wouldn't want to lose her. Maybe but you just wonder, somebody that's won this much certainly could keep rising. 11 will do the rundown like usual. StubHub currently has the cheapest nosebleed ticket for game 3 in New York listed at $4,643. You got that, Brett? $4,643.
Out of my price range.
Go to San Antonio. You'll do better on the if you combine the flight with $746 as the get in for game one down in San Antonio. So compare that $746 to get in at San Antonio, $4,643. So around that $5,000 we thought it would be to get in Madison Square Garden when that thing goes to game 3. 11:25 we'll do, like we always do on Tuesday, we'll talk to Jessica Benson, host of the Jessica Benson Show with CJ Hurd on Grind City Media, and host of the pre- and post-game shows on the Grizzlies Radio Network here on 92.9 FM ESPN, about the NBA Finals, the draft, and whatever else comes out of that conversation. So plenty of Ladies' Day here on J&J on 92.9. So plenty to get to. Let's start with some cap or no cap. How about we do that? You got that? I didn't alert Brad, but he's ready.
You're lying. That's cap.
No cap means I ain't lying.
No, no cap.
It's cap or no cap on 92.9's J&J Show.
Give the Super Bowl trophy to the Rams. Cap or no cap? Brad, I'll pose it first to you.
Oh, God, I would say that is cap. I would rather take the field. And I just think that there's too much other motion and wheels in motion that it's a little too early to call it. But I will say an impressive start and a revolution for the damn Rams to the point where it's like, okay, you got the offense right now. You got the defense right. What else is there?
You got the right now right.
Yeah, so you're ready to go if you're
the
Rams. But I think there's going to be so much motion, it appears, in the next 3 or 4 weeks that maybe it is too early to call. But I don't totally disagree with it. Like I'm it's close. It's close.
You know what? I don't mind you taking the field there. I think it's smart.
Yeah.
Right.
So
injuries can always happen.
Yep.
Stafford was dealing with back issues before the season last year, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
He had a MVP year, obviously, but you're talking about a guy who's in his late 30s now, what, 38, 39 years old. And so, you know, one hit away.
That's the one.
From this thing all falling apart, certainly. Yeah. So it all rides on him. Back to the news real quick, and I'll give you what I think.
Sure.
The Cleveland Browns traded the aforementioned Myles Garrett, as we said, two-time defensive player of the year to the Rams. Browns got a first-round draft pick in 2027, a second-round pick in 2028, and a third-rounder in 2029 in what is one of the biggest trades in NFL history involving a defensive player, according to ESPN. Of course, they're right. Myles Garrett's 30 years old, coming off a season which he set the NFL's all-time single-season sack record, was 23, is still regarded as the best defense player in football, even at 30 years old. He is also under contract through the 2030 season at a time when the Rams were grappling with which of their own defensive standouts to pay. So as their young guys were starting to phase into the latter years of these contracts, they were going to have to pay them. Why not go get a guy that's the best? And sure, you'll pay that contract right now because it's all about right now. The Rams don't care about those first-round draft picks. They used this year's on Ty Simpson's, but I think they've only used two or three in the last 9 years. It's not what they do. McVay plays it aggressive, and that front office has played it aggressive. And what a move. What a move yesterday for them. And then there's this, and we'll, you know, maybe it will be a story, maybe it won't. Now, I'll get to the odds here in a second and how they, you know, improved for the Rams here. But Aaron Donald, the retired Rams DT, who's going to be a Hall of Famer, really retired at the peak of his career. He is a guy who Schefter wouldn't rule out. What if he came back?
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Now, he posts workout videos all the time. It was a workout video apparently from Friday that he posted yesterday, but he's got, you know, there's a buzz now that what if. Now, Schefter checked on it. Apparently, I listened to him this morning, checked with the Rams, who have no money after paying Matthew Stafford, and now they're taking in this Myles Garrett contract. They're telling him they don't have any money, but as someone, another, you know, front office exec told him, you can always find a way
find
the money and get it done. Of course, Aaron Donald could come in for, you know, who knows what he's asking for, and Lord knows you could find different ways to pay him, I'm sure. That's it. Can you imagine what it would look like if you had Myles Garrett and Aaron Donald on the same line? Would be two of the best defensive players we've ever seen on the same line. Back to it, the Rams' Super Bowl odds improved from plus 700 to plus 600 over a DraftKings. Los Angeles is now the clear favorite over the Buffalo Bills, who are plus 1,000. Ravens plus 1,000. Seahawks, who were in the Super Bowl last year, won the Super Bowl, plus 1,100. And then the Chiefs at plus 1,500. And so it's a shocking trade. Really smart by the Rams. We probably should have expected them to remain aggressive. And back to the cap or no cap, I say give it to them. Again, barring injury, and I know that's tough to do. You're talking about a 17-game season.
Mm-hmm.
But barring injury, this is the best team in football by far, and the odds would indicate that. Again, the second-best odds now are the Buffalo Bills at plus 1,000, Rams having jumped from plus 700 to plus 600. You are far out and away, at least on paper. Now, you made a great assessment. You know, there's going to be some weeks ahead here. We had the A.J. Brown trade yesterday. Other teams are going to complete some deals here, maybe that bolster them up a little bit. And I think in the end, and fade tail Brad Carson, you've been a pretty smart man on these things. You're probably safer taking the field. But if the Rams make it to the finish line with Myles Garrett healthy and with Matthew Stafford healthy, I say that's no cap. Give him the Super Bowl trophy.
Stafford seems to be the biggest question, wouldn't we say?
Just lasting
the
season.
Yeah, just because of the injury.
And because of the fact that you've got a rookie behind him in Ty Simpson.
Yeah,
so
that's
there would be no plan.
Right.
That said, you know, he was fantastic last year. You're coming off an MVP season, and so you're super one that you just paid him for.
Right.
And so you're super confident in his ability. I went and looked back at their – here it is right here. They've used their first-round pick three times since 2016. That year, they used it on Jared Goff, eventually traded him for Matthew Stafford in the deal. 2017, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, no first-round pick for the Rams. 2024, they take Jared Verse, who I don't think I said Jared Verse is included
in
this Myles Garrett deal with the going to the Browns.
It's a good pickup for them.
Oh, absolutely. I won't say a younger version, but he is absolutely a guy who's a Pro Bowler and somebody who could be someone you build your defense around.
Yes.
And I'm sure that's what Cleveland's banking on. They're going to end up paying him eventually.
Oh, yeah.
This was, you know, from the Cleveland side, it makes
sense with Verse.
It never made sense to hold Myles Garrett hostage and pay him an unbelievable rate when you are so underwater because of the Deshaun Watson deal.
Right.
You needed to push a real reset button and get a future, and they've done that now completely, I think, in making this trade. It's just, my gosh, did it have to go to the Rams? That's where you have to come back and give the Rams credit. You know, you're probably right to take the field here, but I'm just so impressed by what the Rams have done. And because Schefter said, I can't rule it out, if Aaron Donald, who is already a freak of a human being, and so the shape he's remained in since retiring from the NFL, a couple of years ago, I mean, it's not human.
Yeah.
And so a guy like that probably
he's 35
could come
years
back.
Old. That's, I mean,
35 years old, it's up there, but he'd be playing with much less attention on him on a line that's now going to include Myles Garrett, who's sometimes grabbing triple teams. You know what I'm saying? That's going to make it easier for Aaron Donald, but I'm sure attractive where you'd say, man. Especially a guy that feels like he's in shape like he does, that might be pretty attractive. So if they got him back, I wonder if the odds might shoot up a little bit more, because I just think Aaron Donald, retired, still at 30, coming back from 35, could be still effective on a line that includes.
They are going to have to do some money gymnastics to get that done.
Schefter said they have no money left, literally.
Yeah.
And they'd have to move some things around, restructure some contracts, but that can always be done. You can restructure guys' deals.
Yep.
Remember, they haven't paid Puka.
Oh, that's right. Yep.
And so they're getting to a point now, and they were waiting.
His money,
they were
maybe
waiting on Puka's behavior and everything else, because you've already seen Jaxon Smith-Njigba get his contract extension. But at some point, they're going to have to make a decision on Puka and do more, to your point, gymnastics with the money. But right now, why wouldn't you go all in? It's what they've always done. It's been their MO. They're doing it again, and they've increased their odds tremendously as the Super Bowl favorite. All right, second one. A behavior assessment test taken by coaches and players will lead to better chemistry and togetherness for the University of Memphis basketball team. Cap or no cap?
Oh, this is a good one.
That news yesterday.
I don't like being pessimistic, but I am going to be pessimistic on this, because I got to see it to believe it on characteristics and evaluations when it comes to these tests. I mean, we've seen the Wonderlic test. I mean, we've seen mixed results with that. So this is some sort of special analytics test. They were all in on analytics this year, putting this roster together. And here's where I land on it. You had to be, because you have no money. So there was no other choice than doing character assessments and trying to make sure that you got this thing right based on your analytics and your special hocus pocus here. So I'm going to go with cap, and I got to see it to believe it. But I hope I'm wrong, by the way. I mean, and it does look like they've got some great pieces. I'm not even just talking about the freshmen. That's kind of irrelevant. I'm talking about the players they've gotten on the budget. So I'm going to go with cap, but I'll be optimistic. The problem, as you pointed out time and time again, is the damn schedule is brutal.
So they had to change course, you're right, in roster construction, because last year was so bad. We knew that. Part of the deal, you could see it, the writing on the wall. They, you know, Penny had to clean out staff, bring in a completely different staff. You knew it would be a different approach. And from everything we've gathered, it has been. We learned a little bit more about that approach yesterday as Penny spoke at this golf tournament. I don't know if you've got the clips I sent over to your email. But rather than me trying to explain the behavior assessment company, Munns wrote about it over Commercial Appeal. Penny speaking at the golf tournament yesterday, I think the AutoZone Liberty Bowl golf tournament. Here he is explaining the new approach.
Yeah, well, every coach that was recruiting a young man and all of us together, we did a background check. We did a thorough background check. And we also gave these tests to see the personalities of every player, even before signing, just to kind of get them to understand, us to understand who they are. You know, I did it with my staff, I did it with myself, and then we did it with the incoming players, the players that we were recruiting, just to understand who these young men are. And it helps tremendously to know the type of brain that this young man is working with, whether they love leadership or not, don't love leadership, if they're willing to sacrifice and all these different things. So it was a totally different process this year.
You took the personality test?
Oh, absolutely.
Did you learn anything new about yourself?
No, I'm still smart. But but no, it was just basically just understanding that in that test that I care a lot. There are some things that I put above other things that I probably need to shift. And just pushing in the right direction, man. It's all positive.
There you go. There
Very
you go.
Good.
I thought the last part of that probably was the most interesting, that Penny took it himself.
Mm-hmm.
As Munns pointed out at the Commercial Appeal, Jason Munns does a great job covering the Tigers. Commercial Appeal was there yesterday. And I think that was the CA's video there.
Yeah.
But he pointed out to taking the test himself and seeing that he prioritizes some things that he said maybe he shouldn't. Maybe he should have a little lower is what it sounded like there.
Yes, it did.
I found that part the most interesting because, as we said here, it wasn't just you running the players through these tests to try to have a better chemistry among them. He ran himself and he ran his coaches through there. And so to hear him see something on the test that apparently he learned afterward that maybe – You know, winning ways have proven or analytics have proven a different way is more effective or prioritizing this is more effective, you know, what you look for, whatever else. Because I'd be interested in the questions. Apparently, it's and Munns had in his story, it's Profile. It's a behavior assessment company. So I don't know if there's a Profile test out there, but that part interested me the most because it can't just be a change in approach in roster.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Penny's talked about it. We've talked about it. He was overwhelmed last season. That's part of seemed to take on too much responsibility. That was part of the reason of, you know, redelegating new responsibilities to a new staff. And if he's looked back on last year and not just learned, hey, I've got to structure the roster differently, I'll use behavior assessment companies, whatever else. But my approach, that's good news for the program, right? And we've said this before, when coaches, and there's no need to beat around the bush, are on the hot seat,
sure,
which Penny Hardaway is, you tend to take a look in the mirror. Now, Penny has done this before. He did it when Tim Duncan and Ed Scott came in here, a couple of summers ago, and after the Javon Quinterly debacle, had taken the criticism personally. Those guys told him, hey, calm down, control what you can. And there was a general assessment of, I've approached this wrong, I've got to control what I can. Here's another one in a situation where your back's even more against the wall, and hopefully it'll mean whether it's a more thorough approach from him, whether it's more chemistry, hopefully it'll all come together in terms of it has to add up, Brad, to a better season than what you got last year, which was an eyesore. You can't, worst season in 50-plus years. It has to be equipped better. I know the metrics don't like it. John's talked about it. Torvik, I think they're in the hundreds. And, if you compare that to previous Penny Hardaway teams, even last year's, we think it's lower. Because a lot of these guys, where they had high usage, they're coming from losing programs. And where there was lower usage, maybe like a Josh Holloway, right? Hey, coming from a winning program, been to two NCAA tournaments, but his usage was so low that those numbers statistically, metrically, they don't necessarily like this team on paper. I'm fine with it so long as there are defined roles and guys, whatever new process you've used, understand that those defined roles are how you're going to have a cohesion here. Not a, hey, I'll do it, hey, I'll do it, whatever. It's going to require sacrifice. Remember Tyrese Hunter and allowing P.J. Haggerty to do his thing, even though he'd been to the NCAA tournament. It's going to require that. And you don't learn that stuff, who those guys are, until now. Workouts start today. Penny's talked about it. Got all 14 there. Again, Jason Munns has got the story. Also another one about, sort of the burning questions facing the Tigers here. But back to the cap or no cap. I'm going to go with that it does lead to better chemistry and togetherness, because it won't just be, again, the roster that you feel like can answer these questions in the way you want. They've also been the guys that you could afford, back to your point. But also him dealing with chemistry issues and everything else, having been through the test himself. And not to mention, just law of averages says it can't be, surely it can't be what it was last year. Now, I'll go back to one thing you said, Brad. You said they don't have any money, and they don't compare to power programs. That said, they still got the most in the AAC. From what we know, South Florida, from what we've heard from Hitman, is back to where Memphis was, is where Memphis was last year, between $4 and $5 million. From what we know, even, you know, despite the $1.2 million shortfall from Memphis basketball last year, they're up. And maybe that's a question we can sort of get answered and nailed down. The plan is to have Dr. Ed Scott on tomorrow here in studio. But my understanding, he said they'd have more this year. So that's very important. I just want to make that distinction, because that's why the expectation remains you need to have to win this conference, not just because you're only going to have one more year on your contract after this season, but because you are still the most invested in basketball in the American at $7 million, whatever it is, in terms of, you know, the rev share that they've gotten. Again, we'll talk to the plan is to talk to Dr. Ed Scott tomorrow and see about that. If they're still, sounds like they're not at the top in football, kind of right there, and South Florida's there, at first still in basketball. Maybe we can sort of nail that down tomorrow. But I'm going to go with that's no cap. It'll lead to better chemistry on this one, just because, man, they need it. You know, Penny's got some Memphis guys in there. Lord knows you got a sacrifice guy in Thedford. And maybe even still, you know, just in his second year with this program, he can be a leader. One of those guys that's a, you know, you need those Caleb Mills, those Tyrese Hunters that sort of show the way by being willing to take a step back. All right, last one. Grizzlies will draw a nice crowd for their draft watch party at the Forum. Cap or no cap? Before you say it, Grizzlies going to host a free open to the public 2026 draft party this month at FedEx Forum. Doors going to open at 6 p.m. on Tuesday, June 23rd. That is the first night of the draft. Brad writing it down. It's very important. Starts at 7. This is an exciting draft.
Yes.
I mean, this is the most excitement we've had since 2019. And in that one, we knew who it was going to be, right?
Yes.
I mean, you knew it was going to be John Morant. We think we know it'll be Cam Boozer at 3. But
if he's on the board.
Right, because that's the difference here.
Right.
You knew Zion was coming off at 1.
Yeah.
There was no chance of anything changing. And so at a draft party when he's announced, you've known for a long time, is what I'm getting at here, that it was going to be Ja Morant. Now, for this one,
yeah,
where you're, let's be real, I think we're probably going to get to a point where we're hoping it comes out that Boozer is there, that some team hasn't talked itself into coming up ahead of him, but you don't know. And so there will be a little bit of, you know, apprehension. It'll be a little bit of intrigue to the night. You have to factor that in. Do you think folks will go down for free?
Yes.
To celebrate
this? Absolutely.
You also have pick 16.
Yes.
It's only going to be the first round in terms of the party, so 32 doesn't matter here in the sense for the party. If the Grizzlies keep 32 in the second round, high second round pick, this is a first round draft watch party. Now, what could happen, though, we've talked about it.
Sure.
Zach Kleiman's always been aggressive. He could use 32. He could use 16, move up. So there could be something else to celebrate in addition to the 3 pick. You could stay at 16, or you could use that something else to move up. And so with all those factors, do you think they'll get and knowing how badly this franchise needs to get up off the ground, fans need something to hang their hat on. You've got Cedric Coward, first team all rookie in the NBA.
Yeah.
You've got Zach Edey, did the same thing. You feel good about those guys, Jalen Wells, but you need to start getting stars in here. You need to start, you know, really using these assets to fill out the rest of this roster. How excited do you think folks will be?
I think people are excited. You know, this reminds me a little bit. I went down there, it's probably been about 19 years ago, for the Mike Conley draft where he was picked at the 4 slot. I was in the building for that one down there, and they had a nice atmosphere because they put the draft on the Jumbotron.
Yeah.
So you got the hype crew, you got all the media personalities down there from Grind City. It's good vibes. You know, I think this is a resurrection, hopefully, for the Grizzlies.
It has to be.
This has to be our resurrection, because it was so brutal, especially at the end of the season, and then you had the Ja Morant stuff that seemed to linger on. Man. And he might even get moved on that night. You never know. So it'll be a nice night, I think.
I will say, if it was, you know, if Darren Peterson, for whatever reason, did slide down, let's just say someone moved up and did get Boozer, AJ's off the board, and you've got a chance of Peterson. Do you think how would you gauge the excitement level of Peterson in Memphis, knowing that you have a little bit of PTSD from Ja, right? The inavailability.
It's a good question.
And Peterson, while he's answered these questions apparently to GMs, and what you're reading right now in this pre-draft process is he's done a pretty good job convincing them that he's through that. But still, he had the issues at Kansas. We wonder about motivation. What do you? How would you gauge what the excitement level would be in Memphis if you did end up with Darren Peterson?
So I can only speak for myself on Darren Peterson and say that it wouldn't be as good as if it were Cam Boozer, because the Boozer thing has been so
lauded.
Have
we talked ourselves so into that?
The analytics,
it would mute a little bit of Darren Peterson reaction?
I think so, yeah. I mean, I think people are really convinced they want Boozer now. The vibes on Boozer seem high because he's the one we keep going back to. And then you had the combine where he just outperformed, I think, most of our expectations. So, and I also think people are done with drama totally. They like don't want to touch it. We're even at a point now, Jason, I think, where, you know, when you go through these processes, it's like, well, we might take a chance on Williams or one of these players that it's sort of like both athleticism questions, or are they right from a mental capacity drama perspective? And I think the answer is don't touch. So my opinion is it's different than the Jaren Jackson year, because it felt like there was so much commotion in the Jaren Jackson draft, where Jaren was picked at four. Because you had all these players being selected around him, and we were in the middle of the build out, right? I mean, we're still in the early teens before we got to 2020 and the 2021
draft. Looking for stars at that point in a renewed core.
This is coming off the Wallace years, so we were at the start of the rebuild. So I think it was different there. This is one where like we've got good pieces, we've got a center that we're hoping is healthy, we've got Cedric Coward, we've got Jalen Wells, you've got Santi still on the roster. We've got a good. We were tanking strategically last year, so we could get the pick.
Well, and you got rewarded with the three, so it ended up being worth the tank.
So you got the pick. That's why we like Boozer, I think, because he's the most. It appears to be the most fundamentally sound athlete. You know, also can use his body. Has the brains to do this, would be a solid a pick, and I think that's where people are. So I don't know, Peterson. It'd probably be mixed. What do you think?
I think mixed is a good way to put it. I think I ultimately would have come back to there. There's going to be a bunch of folks that are super excited and think that he's the guy with the higher upside and the guy that has the chance to be a superstar, a la maybe an Anthony Edwards type. Like, he can do it all, can get to the basket. You wonder about his motivation, which we found out very quickly about Anthony Edwards, because he had some of those same motivation questions too. He was talking about football and
how much
he loved it.
Yeah.
We found out very quickly how motivated he was to become great. Now, it took him a couple of years, and there's still some off-the-court stuff you'd probably question about Anthony Edwards, but what you do not question is his leadership, his on-court availability. If he can go, he will, and we learned that early on about him. I got a feeling Darren Peterson could be like that, you know?
Maybe. It would be awesome for the league.
It would, and listen, if you got Cam Boozer and Darren Peterson goes on to be a star with Utah,
that's a problem.
It is. I'm not going to lament it. I will still say, listen, for the Grizzlies and for what, you know, for where they were in the draft, it was the right pick.
I agree with you.
That said, if the Grizzlies somehow ended up with Darren Peterson coming out of this draft, I think I would end up on the side of excited. Man, I'm talking myself into, there's high upside here. Think about him next to Cedric Coward, 2-3 combo over on the wing. All of a sudden, you're looking like you got some dogs sort of in the way of a Stephon Castle and a Dylan Harper. I know we're talking about different positions, but outside on the perimeter, they are dogs. And so you have to have those guys.
He is long. He is 6'6".
Now, listen, I don't know that he's going to be willing to be a dog defensively. You're going to have to be. That's something that Ant Edwards eventually bought into and has showed us. Like, he's become one of the best two-way guys in the league. I think Peterson has the athleticism to do that. Whether he's committed to it or not is another question. And asking somebody to go be Ant Edwards is completely unfair, using that as the comp. That said, just comparing the potential, sort of some of the questions we have coming out of college, you know, you would say Darren Peterson was on more of a winner with that Kansas team, even in the time missed, that Anthony was down at Georgia, which some held the losing against Anthony Edwards. The fact that I don't even think they were a tournament team that year, Anthony Edwards down at Georgia. But back to the question, I think because you've got so much on the line, like we talked about, the Grizzlies right now,
yeah, you are
absolutely at
stakes.
An inflection point. There's no question about it. Because you have got assets.
Right.
Most picks in the top 32, but here two between 3 and 16 that we could see during this draft party. It's not just one pick,
right.
It's two. And hopefully you'll see the Grizzlies, Zach Kleiman, be aggressive to where it's not just waiting on 16. Now, if you do that, you could probably still end up with a good player at 16. Maybe the price is going to be too high this year for Zach Kleiman to move up. I think it's very interesting that he was 16 last year, moved up to 11 to get Coward. That was a first rounder and two second rounders. What will the price be this year to move up? Because let's be real, the crop is better.
Yep.
You know, the range of guys right there in that, you know, 12 range, you could end up with a Yoxel Lindeborg if you've already, you know, if something's happened up top and you have ended up with Darren Peterson, it could go the other way where maybe you're trading in for a LeBaron Filon, the guard out of Alabama.
I like
Luxembourg. If you have gotten Cameron Boozer with the first one, you could end up with that big, with that guard. I'm not saying it has to go that way, but because this is your way to expedite the turnaround, I think there is a general excitement that, there'll be some folks down there. Grindset Media is going to have, you know, as you said, all their folks down there, but there'll be performances,
everything
else, giveaways. And so I figure for all that, the fact that it's free parking, folks will be down there for that.
Let me ask you about, because there's been this
Tuesday night.
A lot of people have brought up the fact that AJ may not be first, that there might be some debate that Peterson could be picked ahead of him. And I don't think so, but that's just, it's out there. Would you still pick DeBansta at one?
Yes.
Yeah, I think so.
He's just there. It's kind of like with Boozer. I have fewer questions. It's kind of like the Boozer-Wilson debate. Just, he checks so many boxes. Yeah. And I have so fewer questions about him than I do with Peterson, right? I mean, you saw it even with their guy Saunders with BYU went down.
Yeah.
You know, DeBansta didn't quit this year. They made the tournament. He's still scoring third. He actually upped his production.
Yeah.
And so that to me says, you know, guy who's not going to pack it in just for the money, guy who wants to get better. I don't know if you've watched interviews with his dad, but this dude.
I haven't.
It's almost, I'll just say it, it was almost scary. In the how he's talked about training his son's mind, he said that no girlfriends. How do you do that?
AJ's not had girlfriends.
That
Is
was
it forced.
That was part of the what he called discipline. There had to be a disciplined life. I'm talking about. I'm sure in terms of
that's
the
tough man. He,
but the part where that stuck out to me was no girls. So basically, he's committed to no social life. Because dad has insisted, if you commit to this discipline now,
right.
There will be
a reward at the end of the rainbow
reward.
Here. Yeah,
the reward the interview, I think it was with Matt Barnes, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe we'll play that later. I found it because as a father,
He's already gotten the reward. The money is already.
Now here's
huge
one thing:
BYU.
This dude's what 6'7", 6'8".
Yeah.
So me and you don't apply in this conversation because our kid ain't 6'7", 6'8". We'd be crazy if we were training our kids like this and telling them they can't have a social life, no girlfriend, whatever else, so they can commit to this so we can get the big payoff.
Yeah.
I mean, for him, he's a big-time athlete, and so you understand that there's a higher return on investment potential with a guy with a son like him. Me and you can't go to our kids and treat them – Like that. Take away the social, take away everything else. As much as I'd love to say, wow, you do this, there's a rainbow at the end of the road for all that discipline.
Yeah.
Most kids, you bank that hard on a basketball career, whatever else, for most of us, that's going to be something you end up regretting because socially I don't know what you've taught your son or your daughter. And again, what happens when they miss? What's been the plan B if you've committed everything? If it's been the one goal – and that's all you've done in terms of you've eaten, slept it all your life.
You risk your
It scared me a little bit, to be honest with you.
I don't like it because
but he's trained to go.
You risk ostracizing your son at that point.
That is
not something I subscribe to. I don't give a crap if he's 6'10". I'm sorry. If you like basketball and you want to follow that path, it's got to be in you.
Do you remember how Ja very early on told us that T was his greatest hater?
Yes.
In training
him. Oh, I've seen all of this stuff.
Stayed on him.
Yes.
And that's part of the reason Ja's attributed to, his greatness in terms of his rise from where he was as lower level high school prospect to what he became. said dad was hating on him, pushing him.
Sure.
Pushing him. So I'm sure in a way like this.
And there's videos of him training him and going through tires and doing all this stuff in South Carolina.
Right. We remember that.
Yes.
That was part of the story about Ja is the training dad who had played, I believe, with Ray Allen.
Right.
Had done with Son to get him there. Trained to go. Remember, it's tattooed on Ja's arm.
Yes.
But then think about, it just occurred to me. Think about the fan of Ja T then became.
Sitting courtside, best friend.
Once he got in the league, there's no way that dude who was sitting out front, right? A lot of times, man, he was going to war for you, whether it was with Shannon Sharpe or whatever else. Just kind of, if somebody had something to say, that he wasn't the biggest hater anymore.
It flipped. It flipped.
But to get Ja where he was, I'm fascinated by this as a father. And when you're trying to, again, I'm not in any kind of road where I'm thinking I've got a son who's going to play professional basketball. Don't get me wrong. But in terms of trying to push the right buttons, right?
Yeah.
I'm fascinated by what these men, the way they've raised their sons. Mm-hmm. And clearly, T. Morant being a hater in raising him, you're not doing good enough. That's what that was. That's the philosophy Ja's talking about. Lift that thing up. Go back out there. Do another train. Like that kind of quote-unquote hate of your son can push them to some pretty great heights, certainly. But, you know, in the end, there could be repercussions. And in T's case, he kind of flipped, didn't he? Became his greatest fan.
It flipped on. That's one of the reasons why I like Cam Boozer, because his dad was a pro. And there's just, I forget, you know, forget what you think about some of these other players whose parents or their fathers have not been professionals. I mean, look at Jaren. He had two pros who raised the kid. It was just, I think there's a special formula once you've been a pro and you're raising a pro.
I wonder if T got as, just thinking about it, you know, when you go from hater to get him to where he was to what he became and sort of away from the hate. Because if T had stayed the hater.
Yes.
Once he's in the NBA.
Does it turn out differently?
Maybe he's all over Ja.
Might.
On every mistake. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And I'm sure in his fatherly way, he was. But I'm just saying, if he was the hater that brought him up,
that guy's
not going for it, right?
No.
Because again, in making the league, maybe there was a little bit of, we made it. We can let up.
Right.
Not just Ja, but also with dad. And the change in approach to the way you sort of father your son.
Right.
And as opposed to,
the work is,
man,
ended.
We're having too many incidents and everything else. Man, it's a little bit, man, they out to get us.
The
you know
work
what I'm
is
saying?
In.
Oh,
yes,
man,
I do totally
man
get
these
it.
Folks, these folks crazy. Mm-hmm. You know, we done made it this far. Now these folks are out to get us. You see the flip?
I do.
And I just wonder, and again, this is no blame on T. We are where we are.
Yes.
No blame on Ja, whatever. We've all sort of moved on with this. I just find it fascinating.
I do too.
That flip, I wonder if he hadn't flipped. Because DeBansta sounds like the hater dad.
Yeah.
And I think DeBansta's dad, to go back to this conversation, this is why I think he's staying at one. He doesn't seem like the type that's going to flip and become the front row.
He's not charging the court when a monster dunk comes on.
He seems like the kind that's going to stay on his kid.
He's up
even
in the box.
After they get the first NBA contract. Remember,
right.
They just did, what, $7 million at
they just
BYU?
Made big bucks.
And they played their entire way through the season.
Yes.
They played all the way through. They didn't stop.
Yep.
You know, when Saunders went down, whatever the kid's name was, the second best player for their team, he kept on playing all the way through.
That's right.
I think that dad's going to stay on him. In that
way. I agree
with
you.
Yes, AJ will go one. I think Darren will go two. And ultimately, we'll probably all be celebrating down at FedEx Forum when the Grizzlies select Cameron Boozer. There won't be any booze, Caleb Wilson folks.
Oh, no. I don't think there'll be any booze regardless.
There were booze at watch parties, including the one we were at for Jaren.
Famously.
Cameron's too much of a winner.
Yeah, I think we're fine.
There will be cheers and everything.
And
else.
I think fans at this point are ready for any different energy with whoever 100%. They pick.
You're getting a winner. You're getting a culture guy, too, who's going to come in here and hold folks. And he's going to be strong like ox when he gets here at 250 pounds, able to move vets around. That's also good. You're going to buy in earlier to a guy like that that's coming in playing like.
Fans are ready to move on.
He's
dude.
years beyond his age, no question. I think we're all ready. It'll probably be packed down there. We've got much more to talk about, including that aforementioned A.J. Brown trade to the Patriots. Of course, we'll talk NBA Finals. And top of the hour, excited about this, Collierville track and field coach Elisa Seymour. She is the 2025 National High School Girls Track and Field Coach of the Year. That's given annually by the U.S. Track and Field and Cross Country Coaches Association. Only one of those. She was National Coach of the Year last year. How does she follow up by winning a third straight title this year with the Collierville girls over at state? Set some state records here. We're going to talk to her at 10 o'clock. Jessica Benson at 11:25. Much more to do. You're listening to J&J 929.
It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
At DSW, we ask the important questions, like, what shoes are you going to wear? Whether you're prepping for wedding season, festival season, or just planning the ultimate vacay, the right shoes can make or break an RSVP. So own the moment. You've got big plans, and we've got just the shoes. At the perfect price, of course. Get ready to get ready with Designer Shoe Warehouse. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today and let us surprise you.
When I'm looking for high-quality furniture that doesn't break the bank, I don't have to settle for subpar styles because I can find everything I need at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, I can score everyday low prices on pieces that real customers love, like Consumer Reports recommended mattresses, real marble dining sets, and the best-selling modular Bob's sectional, which has over 1,700 five-star reviews. So stock up on five-star style and visit Bob's, where America shops for furniture.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
NFM, ESPN.
Oh, we said after we got out of here yesterday, University of Memphis announced its freshman signing class. Now, Cello Jackson and Parker Pounds had already signed, according to Memphis beat writer Jason Munns, and we talked about it. Fred Smith Jr. had not. They hadn't released the signings of the other two freshmen previously, probably wanting to do it together. And because Fred hadn't signed, sort of held it up. We got Fred's signature yesterday. We talked about it. Being expected, John reported it last week after he had talked to Dad, that Dad said Fred would be at workouts, which begin today. And that's why the Tigers are a story. Penny Hardaway's got 14 guys all signed up now. Remember, he's leaving one scholarship spot open. That's one of Jason Munns' burning questions about this offseason and seasons, whether Penny Hardaway will fill that final spot. You figured that Penny's saving a little bit of money. He's talked about that for if something pops loose. Remember, Naquan Tomlin once did midseason. So it's not a dumb strategy to go into the season with an open scholarship with the kind of movement that we see all over college athletics now, not just college basketball. But so Fred Smith Jr. in, it was certainly good news. Here's what Penny said. We're thrilled to welcome Fred, Cello, and Parker to the Tigers family. It was a priority for us to keep elite local talent at home. We've talked about keeping these guys here and the crop that's coming up behind them. Justin Freison, and bring their passion and energy to FedEx Forum. We're excited about the foundation they'll help build and what that means for the future of Memphis basketball. We got a look-like, a little clip yesterday of sort of some introductions. And keep in mind, when you're only bringing back two, this is something we've sort of got to do every year. I thought it was very helpful, especially with pronunciation for a guy like me of some of these names. I need to send it to John Martin, too, because I think we've botched some of these so far. But I found it very helpful yesterday. This from Memphis Basketball, a nice little introduction of guys as they arrive here on campus for workouts starting today.
What's good? It's Luke Amadovar. I'm so excited to get in the gym and get to work with the boys and Coach Penny. And I'm super excited for the fans, and let's get it.
What up, y'all? This is Brandon Cummings. We're ready to get going here at Memphis. It's going to be a real exciting year, man. We're looking forward to seeing y'all pack out that stadium, and go Tigers.
Hello, everybody. It's Tali Weeks, a.k.a. Bully. Officially in Memphis, I'm excited to go. Go Tigers.
What's up, everybody? It's Jerry Dane. First day in the building. I'm excited. Can't wait for the season. Go Tigers.
Hey, everybody. It's Cornelius Williams, a.k.a. Neil. You know, I'm down here in Memphis. I'm ready to work. Let's go Tigers.
What up, guys? Maxime Loguet. I'm excited to be here. And let's go. Go Tigers.
What's up, guys? It's Will Warden. Glad to be back in the building. Looking forward to having a great season this year. Let's go. Go Tigers.
Maxim.
Okay.
Maxim Loguet.
That's the one that sticks out the most. Maxim Loguet.
Big boy.
Maxim Loguet.
We'll be battling with Neil. It sounds like Cornelius likes Neil.
A.K.A.
I thought
Neil.
I heard.
Yeah.
Battling Neil for the starting center spot.
Swap
That's
group.
Another
there.
One of Jason Munns' burning questions. Who will start at that center spot between those two guys? I got another one for you. Is it who's going to start at power forward? We've talked about it with John. We've talked about it with Hitman. Is it going to be Jerry Dang? Are you going to go smaller? Could you move Tyleek Weeks, who you heard in there as well, to the four? The only guy, and it's not an issue apparently, that is not here yet is the Northwestern transfer, Jaden Reed, that's expected to hold down the point guard position. He's expected to be here later on this week. So long as you got everybody in, Penny's talked about it, the value in that, getting guys on the floor together, getting them in groups, starting to build that chemistry. But listen, this, you know, as a old washed-up former Tigers beat writer myself, this used to be a pretty exciting time just in terms of learning guys. I never had to learn complete new rosters. And keep in mind, a lot of times, in all but 1 year, these were closed off. Yeah, there was no way that they were letting the beat writer in for me. A lot of what you're going to get is just filtered out. It's sort of, you know, from whether it's a source on the coaching staff or whatever else. If you get a look at the guys, you probably don't get enough of a look to develop any kind of real feel for what this team's going to look like. But that coaching staff will, that team will. Hopefully leaders start emerging. Again, you figure the older guys get the, you know, already have the nod, and specifically when Penny needs to win as badly as it does. But that was, it was pretty exciting to hear those guys.
Definitely.
The fact that you've got them all here is certainly a good thing for Memphis. We can put the Fred Smith Jr. signed, not signed saga to bed, and we can get to, you know, some workouts that hopefully will benefit this team in the regular season, because Lord knows they're going to need it right off the bat with Iowa State as your first regular season game. My goodness, the schedule is going to be tough, and you need all the togetherness you can get. We've got Elisa Seymour. She is the Collierville High Girls Track and Field Coach, National High School Girls Track and Field Coach of the Year. That's national. That's across, first in Tennessee to do that, by the way. She's also my neighbor. She's a Tiger, as my former college classmate, also a former Daily Helmsman buddy. Now, she's gone on to great things. I'm doing my thing here, and we're going to use this platform to shout out all the great things that Coach Seymour has built out at Collierville, what she's doing with the Ed Murphy Track Club. We're going to get the champ in here next. She'll be in studio. You're listening to J&J, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Did you know that there are over 200 legends like Andrew Jones, Albert Pujols, Felix Hernandez, and Ken Griffey Jr. in MLB The Show 26? Collect them all and current all-stars to build your perfect lineup. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
I'm Tobin Heath.
And I'm Kristen Press.
We're World Cup champions, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Week in and week out, we sit down with sports legends, cultural icons, and global changemakers to talk everything from clutch games to causes that matter.
This is about creating the future of women's sports, a future that's honest, inclusive, and real.
Join us for our reimagined journey. Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.